right. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. For I loved Him, He loved me. You know, we wouldn't even have the capacity to love were it not for His love. Think about the love of God. That ought to bring revival right there. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. We have had a good week thus far. We've had a great time, good spirit in the church. We appreciate your faithfulness. If you would tonight open your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, if you will. Revelation chapter number 4. Sunday morning, we began with kind of just a simple thought. See that you fall not out by the way. See that you fall not out by the way. Then we talked about a little bit about those wagons of revival. And Sunday night, the wagons of revival. And then last night, we kind of just talked a little bit about how to get through the storm. We all face storms in our life. Sometimes there's a spiritual revival that is needed. Sometimes we need our spirit to be revived because we're going through some storms. I want to look in a passage of Scripture. We're going to kind of bounce around a little bit tonight, a little bit of a different kind of message maybe. But I remember one year we took a group of teenagers to youth camp. We've always had great youth camps, and with Josh and Ms. Kelly, you know, grew up coming through our youth department and going to camp, and we always had a great time at youth camp. And I remember one particular year, there was a young man with us. He was probably about 15 years old, something along that line, and this was his first year going to youth camp with us, and man, he just had a ball at youth camp. Made some decisions for the Lord, got some things right, and was participating. After about the one of the last days of youth camp, he kind of pulled me to the side and he said, "Preacher, he said, I don't really know what heaven's going to be like, but I've just kind of got a feeling this week here at youth camp is similar to what it's going to be like in heaven." And I began to think about that thought. What it's going to be like in heaven. I want to draw your attention to a couple of verses here. Verse number 1 of chapter 4 says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open." I want you to note these next two words, "in heaven." Notice verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set." What's the next two words? "In heaven." In chapter number 5, verse number 13, you see that phrase again, "and every creature which is in heaven." In heaven. You know, I was thinking about the subject of heaven, and we like to talk about heaven. Amen? I like to think about heaven. Aren't you thankful tonight? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a blessed hope? Aren't you thankful that this isn't all there is? Amen. I like to think about heaven. I like to preach on heaven. I like to talk about heaven. I can't sing a lick. I like to sing about heaven. You say, "Are you going to sing about heaven?" No, I'm just going to quote them. Amen. Think about this. "Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." I like this one. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Are you looking forward to that day? They were singing, they were practicing, I think it was last night, one of the favorite songs of many, Beulah Land, I'm Longing for You. Well, I like to think about heaven, don't you? I like to sing about heaven. I love those songs about heaven. This young man said to me after youth camp, boy, I got a feeling this is something a little bit of what it's going to be like in heaven. You know, I was thinking about the subject of heaven, and we find that phrase, in heaven, in heaven, in heaven, in these three verses that we just mentioned briefly tonight. We'll look at some more scripture in a moment. But I was thinking about heaven, and you know, I find that as you have conversations with people, that most people think they are going to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Hey, they were shocked. This group of people was shocked that they were not going to heaven. The sad account is, most think they are going to heaven. Sadly, many are not. The sad account is this, just as real as heaven is, so is a place called hell. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. I'm not going to preach on hell tonight, but you know, we like to get the warm fuzzies and think about heaven. But just as real as heaven is a place called hell. As I was thinking about the subject of heaven, and many thinking they're going to heaven, many that maybe are not going to heaven that think they are. There may be some that think they're not going to heaven that will actually be there. I was thinking about this thought. Many think they are going to heaven, and most people think they want to go to heaven. You know, if I were to take a poll tonight, I would just probably get the idea that most would say, if not all would say, well, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, kind of like that little boy, and y'all all have heard that joke about the little boy in the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher started talking about who wants to go to heaven? Everybody raise their hand except that one little boy. Who wants to go to heaven? Maybe everybody didn't hear me. Everybody raise their hand except that one little boy. And she looked over there at him and said, Johnny, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, well, sure, I want to go to heaven. She said, well, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, oh, I thought you were getting up a group to go today. He wasn't ready to go today. That's kind of the way most of us are. But I was thinking about this idea of heaven. And I began to think about this thought. Are you sure you want to go to heaven? I want you to think about that for just a minute. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? I'm not asking you tonight, and certainly that is a question we must consider is, do you know you're going to heaven? I pray that everybody in here knows they're going to heaven. If you don't have the knowledge that you're going to heaven tonight before you leave this place, I pray you would know for sure you have a home in heaven. By the way, it's not about good works. It's not about church membership. It's not about some religious ritual. It's about the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm so thankful tonight that I can know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And that knowledge is not based on self. It's based on the promises of God's Word. Amen. And so I'm thankful tonight that I can know that I'm going to heaven. But the question is not, do you know you're going to heaven? The question tonight, and this might sound strange, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? We're going to consider that question tonight after a word of prayer. He said, well, that's a strange question. Sure, I want to go to heaven. We're going to look at it closely tonight. Because I feel like there are many people tonight that are on their way to heaven. Many people sitting in independent, fundamental Baptist churches tonight. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you tonight. We thank you for what our hearts have felt. Lord, we thank you for what our ears have heard. I do pray tonight that as we look into the Word of God, that you'd again open our hearts to receive the Word of God upon good ground. Lord, we need revival in this nation. Lord, we need revival in our churches. I pray that revival would begin with me tonight. Use us now as we consider the passage before us. We'll be careful to thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to be a little bit of a different kind of a message tonight. It won't be long, hopefully. But I want to just pose a question. I want you to think about this. When I was a little fella, I told you last night that I went to 6 different middle schools. Moved around a lot. And I was talking to them before church, and as a young man, I spent some time in Texas. When we first moved away from our home and moved out to Texas, the first time, I was in 6th grade. And we lived in an apartment complex that had a swimming pool. Now remember, I've already shared my testimony with you. I was not raised in a Christian home, wasn't saved until I was 18 years old. And so some of the things that I may tell you, don't hold it against me. Amen. I was lost. But I was in 6th grade. Now I've got 3 older sisters. The closest sister to me is 6.5 years older than me. And so they were all pretty much grown and out of the house. I've got 2 brothers that are 14 months younger than me. They are twins. So there were 3 girls. They are all 3 years apart. 6.5 years later, my parents were blessed mightily with me. And then, 2 brothers followed right behind me. And so, we began moving. It was my mom, my dad, me, and my 2 brothers. My sister stayed there, in our home in Florida. But as we began moving, we lived in this apartment complex. And I can remember one day, we went swimming in the apartment complex swimming pool. And there was a lady that came to the pool, and she came down there, and she had her hair just like she likes it. She had her makeup on. She had her book, and she had her a lawn chair, and she took that lawn chair and she put it right down beside the pool, and she got in that lawn chair with her makeup and her hair and her book, and she began reading. And she started complaining that she was getting wet. And after about the 3rd complaint that she was getting wet, me and my brothers, I'm not sure whose idea it was, all of a sudden decided it was an appropriate time for cannonballs. And man, we started cannonballing that woman, poor thing. But the thought went through my mind. Watch this. If you didn't want to get wet, what are you doing at the pool? Can I get a witness on that one? If you don't want to get wet, what are you doing at the pool? The question could have been asked to her as she was preparing to go to the pool. Are you sure you want to go to the pool? No. Are you really sure you want to go to the pool? I'm afraid there are many people sitting in independent, fundamental Baptist churches, singing about heaven, but they really, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? You say, well, sure, everybody wants to go to heaven. Let's ask the question a couple of times tonight. Number one, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it is a place of holiness. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it is a place of holiness. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 21, you can follow along with me. We're going to read a lot of the scripture we're going to read is going to be redundant because it proves several points. But in chapter number 21 in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse number 27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Can I tell you something tonight? Heaven is a place. There's not going to be sin in heaven. There's not going to be worldliness in heaven. There's not going to be carnality in heaven. You see, the same people, watch this, that say they want to spend eternity in heaven are the very same people that are mocking holiness today. It amazes me how people can mock people who are trying to live right and walk right and live a separated life, and people are mocking them. And then you say, "Do you want to go to heaven?" "Oh yeah, I want to go to heaven." "Well, do you really realize what's..." "Hey lady, do you really realize what's down there at the pool? Water. And three blonde-haired boys that are going to make it there. Mission to get you wet. Are you really sure you want to go to the pool? Because if you don't want to get wet, hey, if you don't want holiness, what really makes you think you want to go to heaven?" Look, you see, sometimes we get caught up in worldliness and carnality and the flesh and all and the pleasures of sin for a season, but we say we want to go to heaven. Heaven's a place of holiness. Heaven is a place of holiness. You really sure you want to go to heaven? And hopefully by the time we finish this message, you still will say, "Oh yes, I want to go to heaven." But hopefully it might convict us to maybe there's some things in our life presently that ought not be there. Watch this. Not only is heaven a place of holiness, but I want you to flip back to chapter 4 again. Chapter number 4. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it is a place of holiness. If you don't want holiness in your life, you may not enjoy heaven as much as you think you will. Number 2, look in chapter number 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Chapter number 5 and verse number 11 again speaks of this. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Chapter number 7 and verse number 9 says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Notice this next phrase. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You know what I'm finding here? Over and over and over and over again, I'm finding worship. I'm finding worship. Hey, we're afraid of the term worship in our independent fundamental Baptist churches today because some have taken it and taken it off the left field somewhere. But can I tell you tonight, we still ought to worship the one that's sitting on the throne tonight. Hey, did you notice the phrases over and over and over again, saying with a loud voice, proclaiming this over and over again? I don't think we ought to be swinging from the chandeliers. I don't think the attention ought to be on us, but it ought to be on Him. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. It amazes me how people will say, boy, I sure do want to go to heaven. And you get into the house of God and we begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're sitting there with their arms crossed and they look like they've been sucking on a lemon all day long. They won't open their mouth and sing. They won't participate in the service. They sit there and you can't even get a grunt out of them. But they want to go to heaven. But they want to go to heaven. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Now, listen, everybody's not a shouter. I understand that. Hey, everybody's not. Our church is not a real vocal church. Our church is a crying church. We got a bunch of crybabies in our church. I wasn't a crybaby until I started going to that church. Amen. But everybody cries at that church, which is a good thing. They've got tender hearts. But you know what? When the songbook is open, we began to sing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. We began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, I tell you what, when we began to sing the songs of praise, listen, we ought to lift our voice. I can't sing a lick. They won't let me in the choir. But I tell you what, I have a great desire to worship my Savior. And I don't understand people who don't want to worship Him. Yeah, I think it ought to be done decent and in order. And by the way, the worship that's going to be in heaven is going to be the right kind of worship. The right kind of, not carnal worship. Not worldly worship. Not fleshly worship. Not look at me worship. Because you know what? It's not about me. It's about Him. You know, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about us. It's all going to be about Him. And what I find in these few passages of Scripture, and we could go to so many more, you know what we're going to be doing in heaven? A great deal of it is going to be worship. You know what worship is? It is giving worth. Same root word, worship and worth. That's why they keep saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. It's ascribing worth. Can I tell you tonight, He's worthy. He's worthy. He desires our worship and He deserves our worship. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because you know what's going to be going on in heaven? It's going to be a place of holiness, no carnality, no fleshly, no worldliness, all that junk that we cling to sometimes today. It's going to be worship. If you don't like worship now, if you don't like, hey, what are you doing at the pool if you don't like water? Why do you want to go to heaven if you don't like worship? You say, well, maybe I shouldn't want to go to heaven. No, maybe we ought to learn to worship Him now. I tell my church sometimes, you know what we're doing right now? We're practicing. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. I got to hurry. I got 15 points. Just kidding. Amen. Should have seen the look on his face. John, notice. I have a hard time with this. My son works on staff with me at the church. My other son-in-law works on staff with me at the church, and this son-in-law is your pastor, but to me, he's just Josh. He's Josh. I'll have to tell y'all about the first time I met Pastor Josh. But did y'all notice? He wants to be like me so bad. He dressed just like me tonight. No, really, he had his suit on before I did. I wasn't about to change it because my wife had already ironed my shirt, and she'd have been mad if I told her to iron a different shirt. So, anyway, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? It's a place of holiness. You sure you want to go? You sure you want to go to that? By the way, this message can be convicting, but it can also be exciting. Because if we're really looking forward to the holiness of heaven, it'll encourage us. If we're looking forward to worshiping our Lord and Savior face to face, wow. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? This is not a point, but I thought about it a while ago. And I tell you what made me think about it. I was sitting right there and I was looking over here and the choir was singing about revival. And you know what I saw? I saw some people with joy on their face. I saw some people smiling. This isn't even in my outline. I'm going to add it to it after tonight. Amen. But you know what? Heaven's going to be a place of joy. If anybody has the right to have joy tonight, it ought to be God's people. I know we talked about the storms last night, and sometimes we're going through storms. And sometimes we have a headache, and sometimes things are tough, and I understand that. But I've been pastoring at Maranatha Baptist Church for almost 16 years now, and you would think there are some, you would think sometime at some point in 16 years, you would at some point crack a smile. Sometimes we're hurting, I understand that. But you know what? There ought to be joy. Boy, I tell you what, heaven's going to be a place of joy. It's going to be a place of joy. I just threw that one in for free. Joy. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. If you don't have joy now, and if you don't like life now, what makes you think you're going to like heaven? Revelation chapter 7. The message tonight is just food for thought. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Look at chapter number 7 and verse number 15. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Go to chapter 22 and look at verse number 3. Just kind of looking at a few verses here. Chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. You know what's going to be in heaven? You know, a lot of times we forget this. We know there's worship in heaven and we're going to worship Him. But you know what I find in my Bible? We're also going to serve Him in heaven. We're going to serve Him. It amazes me tonight that many people say, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, do you realize when you get to heaven, you're going to be serving Him? You're not serving Him now. If you can get them to come to the house of God, they come in, they plop down, they sit down, they don't smile, they don't sing, they walk out as soon as it's over, they've done their duty, you can't get them to do anything for the Lord. Can't get them to serve the Lord. Hey, we ought to be serving Him. Find a place of service. God blesses us with time and talent and treasure and He gives us ability and He gives us these things. Why? To serve Him. God blesses us to use in His service and to be a blessing to others. And the same people you can't get them to help on the bus route. You can't get them to pass out a tract. You can't get them to teach a Sunday school class. You can't, for crying out loud, you cannot get them to keep the nursery. You can't get them to help clean the church. You can't get them to do this and this and this. I'm looking forward to heaven.
Really?
Are you sure you want to go to heaven? Because it's a place of service. It's a place of service. Again, you say, what kind of revival message is this? Just kind of ring the alarm a little bit. Listen, if we're not worshiping Him now, if we're not serving Him now, if we don't have joy now, what makes us think we're going to enjoy heaven? So the answer is this. Somebody mentioned it a while ago. Change. That's what revival's about. Change. A change of heart. A change of desire. A renewed mind. You say, I do love Him and I do worship Him. And I do serve Him. Well, praise the Lord. Look forward to heaven because it's going to be so much sweeter there. I'll give you a couple more real quickly tonight and I'll be done. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it's a place of holiness. It's a place of worship. It's a place of joy. It's a place of service. Look in chapter 5 again real quickly. Verse 11 says, I know we've read these verses, but we're emphasizing a different part as we look at them again tonight. Verse 11 out of chapter 5 says, And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You say, what's this all about? I want you to notice something here. Notice the Bible speaks of a group of people there. Number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know what they are? They're assembled together. They're assembled together. The saints of the ages are all gathered around the throne. What's this? Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it's a place of assembly. Well, you know now, the reason I don't come to church is because I don't like crowds. But then they'll get to the football stadium, get a pom-pom in their hand, and they don't mind the crowd then, or lifting their voice then. I don't do crowds, preacher, so I don't. Pretty good crowd gathered around the throne from what I'm reading right there. You've all heard this one. Well, preacher, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites down there at the church. You know what them same hypocrites, quote unquote, are going to be gathered around the throne. But sometimes, even those who are saved can be a little bit hypocritical. Not perfect. They're gathered around the throne. I just can't assemble. I know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, if you don't like gathering in the assembly of the saints, if you don't like coming together with God's people, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Well, I just don't like this so-and-so, and I don't like this attitude, and I don't like this, and I don't like this. You know what? God's probably just going to just for kicks put my mansion right next to His. It's a place where God's people are assembled. If you don't like assembling with the saints now, you're not going to like heaven. So what ought we to do? Just not want to go to heaven? No, learn the worship. Learn to want and have a desire to assemble with the saints. By the way, you know what the Bible said? That verse I just quoted a while ago, I'm going to kind of just put a little side note in there. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know what it goes on to say? So much more as you see the day approaching. You know what that says? It says so much more. We're living in a day where people are canceling church services. Doing away with Sunday school. Doing away with Sunday night services. Doing away with midweek services. We ought not be doing away with the opportunity to worship and serve and assemble with the saints. So much more ought we to as we see the day approaching. Assembling. Assembling with God's people. It's important. It's important. You know, I kind of made a statement a little bit about people not wanting to serve the Lord and those kind of things and no joy. But I tell you what, I want to say this. I mentioned that. I praise the Lord for my church because those are in the minority at my church. And I've got a sense that that's the minority here. Because I tell you what, I see people with a smile on their face. I see people serving and working and doing and trying to keep the nursery, amen, and singing the choir and singing specials and playing musical instruments. And I praise the Lord for a group of people that have a desire to assemble with God. You've been faithful all week. You're out here on a Tuesday. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I understand that. Our church there in Columbus, Georgia, I tell you what, our people love the Lord. And they serve the Lord. And they worship the Lord. And they have a smile on their face and joy. And I praise the Lord for people that really do want to go to heaven, and they prove so because they're practicing for heaven right now. You really sure you want to go to heaven? It is a place of holiness. It's a place of worship. It's a place of joy. It's a place of service. It's a place of assembly. I'll give you one more tonight. We could go on and on, but notice chapter 4 again in verse number 2. I want you to notice this. The Bible says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven." I'm thankful tonight that the throne of God is set in heaven. It's fixed. Amen? That's a message for another hour. Notice this next phrase, "And one sat on the throne." And one sat on the throne. Can I tell you tonight, He's on the throne. When it's all said and done tonight, you know what heaven is? It is a place of holiness and a place of worship and a place of joy and service and the assembly of God's people all around the throne. But when it's all said and done, you know what heaven is? It's a place of His presence. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Then He said this, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know what makes it heaven tonight? Oh, we like to think about the mansions and the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. We like to think about all of that, but what makes it heaven tonight is the presence of my Savior. The presence of the Savior. Oh, I want to go to heaven. Do you realize in heaven going to be in His presence? You're going to be in His presence. Amazes me tonight, people say they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to get in the Word of God. Never read their Bible. They want to go to heaven, but they never get into the prayer closet and get alone with Him. They don't walk in His presence, but they want to spend an eternity in His presence. It just makes you scratch your head sometimes. This lady got up that morning. She did her hair. She put on her lipstick. Boy, did she have some lipstick on. Woo! And she got all dolled up to go down to the pool and took her novel. and her lawn chair. She didn't set it way over here by the umbrellas in the fence line. She set it right next to the pool. She plopped down. She had her book. And some old boy kind of splashed a little bit of water, and she got her feathers ruffled a little. And she, another splash. And she started, "Hey! Hey!" And my brother's ear perked up. And said, "She's pitching a fit over there about getting wet." And I said, "What's she doing at the pool?" "I don't know." And one of us said, "I'm a cannonball." Probably was Philip. It wasn't me. No. And we commenced the cannonball. Closed her book, got her lawn chair, and started stomping off. If you didn't want to get wet, I was lost in my defense. If you didn't want to get wet, what'd you come to the pool for? Oh, I want to go to heaven. What a day, glorious day that will be. Are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because it's a place of holiness. It's a place of worship. It's a place of service. It's a place of joy. It's a place of assembling with the saints. But more than all of that, it's a place in His presence. We're not spending much time in His presence today. Maybe tonight, you say, "Boy, this is a strange revival message." That's just a strange message. But the thought just occurred to me how so many people say they want to go to heaven, but we don't act like we want to go to heaven. We don't live like we want to go to heaven. Because heaven is a place. Wow. So maybe tonight, we'll just do a little bit of an inventory and say, "Lord, do I really desire holiness in my life? Worship? Is there joy? Am I serving You now? Do I enjoy being in the presence of God's people? Do I spend time in Your presence?" Maybe tonight we can just examine our heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Oh, preacher, I'm not even sure that I'm going to heaven." Can I tell you tonight, you can know for sure how to go to heaven. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm so thankful my Bible still says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. Wow, think about it. I'm looking forward to heaven, but my prayer is that I would act more like it. That we would just get ready for heaven. This is a dress rehearsal. That's what church is all about. Amen. Let's fall back in love with the Savior. Fall back in love with the things that He loves. And one thing that He loves is the church.